Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We'll get to the gospel in a short moment, I promise you. I want to go on a bit of a rant this morning. I think we probably all have things in our lives that annoy us. Things that we probably blow out of proportion. Things that we probably complain about to our loved ones and friends so much you can tell when they roll their eyes when we go into our diatribes and manifestos. For me, it's about wishing somebody a Merry Christmas. I'm a minister. I'm a person that believes in the birth of Christ. I'm a person that believes in the resurrection of Christ. And I am a person who likes to be wished a Merry Christmas. I have the feeling that if a retailer is going to play upon my Christmas beliefs, then they are going to wish me a Merry Christmas. I don't want to be wished Happy Holidays. I don't want to be wished Season's Greetings. I don't want to be wished Happy Snow Day, Happy Festivus. The list can go on and on. But obviously in our society, wishing someone a Merry Christmas is a little bit taboo. We can have Christmas trees. We can have lights. We can have candy canes. I've seen some wise men. We can have infantile, harmless little babies that could never do anything wrong. But the phrase Merry Christmas has become somewhat verboten. So I admit it. I am that difficult guy beside the Walmart cashier who in their wish Season's Greetings or Happy Holidays, I respond back with Merry Christmas. May not be their fault. Could be corporate policy. Could be they don't want to offend me. But nevertheless, I am always on the lookout for how, and the phrase is old and trite, Christ is being taken out of Christmas. How we're turning in this season. This season, not of snow, this season, not of cold weather, this season, not of December, but this season of Advent, in which the light increases and the darkness fades, this season in which God overcomes darkness, how we take this season and we turn it into a somewhat pagan ritual festival. A winter solstice, if you will. Time off from work, time off from school, time for parties, a time when we share gifts, a time when we recognize that snowmen can come to life and dance with children. A crazy time. I was in Saskatoon last week, Christmas shopping. And because I'm a staunch Christmas observer, I look at the signs, Season Greetings, Happy Holidays, but one store had a sign that caught my eye. The sign said, it was quite a small sign, just a small little 8.5 by 11 piece of bright pink neon paper. It said, to Christians, : Merry Christmas. To Jews, : Happy Hanukkah. To atheists, : good luck. You know what they say about atheists? They work for a non-profit organization. I tried to set up people before, it didn't work very well either. See, you know, Jews and Christians, people of the prophets, you know, Moses, okay, you have to explain a joke, you're probably not a very good joke. So Christmas, it's here. The radios are filled with songs. Thumpity, thump, thump, thumpity, thump, thump. No, I knew you'd finish that. Predictable. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Blank to the world. Sleigh bells. And blank got run over by a reindeer. I spent the time this week in three places. One, in the toy aisle at Walmart. Two, at Tim Hortons having a cup of coffee. And three, at the co-op marketplace. And what do all of these three seemingly discordant places have in common? I heard no love for Christmas. There was no joy. There was no happiness. There was no excited expectation. In the toy aisle at Walmart, I found kids crying, holding on to their mummy's legs, please, please, please. I saw a husband give his wife terse looks as she picked up this unanimous box off the shelf. At Tim Hortons, I heard people complaining about travel, about the expense, about the meals, about juggling families. At the co-op, I sat with seniors, and I heard complaints how you, their children, will not be coming this year, that you're going off to the in-laws' house. And that is said with an unloving look. We don't get the kids this year. They're going to the in-laws. Seriously, as a kid, how do you win? If you're at your parents' 1 year, you can bet that your wife's parents are talking about the in-laws. And next year, when you're at your parents, you can bet your wife's parents are talking about the in-laws. And as a kid, let me tell you, grandparents, it's no joy to pack up the car on a minus 40 day with presents as your wife says, don't get that bow bent. I have no joy of sleeping on an air mattress in some basement. How many cabbage rolls, pierogies, and turkey do you think I can consume in a week? Christmas blessing or Christmas curse? Apparently curse because I put the third Sunday of Advent. So we'll have a little debate, Mom. We'll have a little debate about Christmas. Is this a betterment? Or is this the great millstone around our neck? Has God given us a gift? Or has God given us a curse? Who doesn't love the snow-covered parking lot? I have seen this parking lot. I have been backed into in this parking lot. I have had to shovel out of this parking lot. Your feet are wet. You have to dress in a skidoo suit to commit, only to get into the store and sweat like you're in sunny Bahamas. It's horrible. I dislike it. I think you do too. And this is part of Christmas shopping. Remember last week? The 15 people that were here last week when it was minus 50, remember? The rest of you, we took attendance. It was ugly. It was cold. The wind was blowing. Banks were piling. A man could lose a finger. How about the crowded stores? We love the crowded stores. We rush into the stores to buy those perfect gifts. But as humans, we are masochistic. Because guess what's filling my mailbox right now? Boxing Day sales. Like we haven't had enough. This is like running the Boston Marathon to find the jog home the next day. We've just spent a month of shopping, and now we want to go out, fire up the Visa, and look for more great values. How insulting! If I shop for Laura Lee for a month and Boxing Day comes and she says, I need more stuff, I'm incomplete. Talk about a kick in the stomach. When you go shopping on Boxing Day, you're telling your family and loved ones, you didn't buy me enough. I need more. Because if you're truly satisfied, you'd stay home. Whoops. Let's be honest with one another. Parents, every year we go through this. We fight the blizzards. We fight the parking lot. We fight the crowds for that must-have gift. The Tickle Me Elmo doll. Who recalls that sensation? The Furby. The PlayStation 2. Where is the Tickle Me Elmo doll now? It hasn't been castigated out to some garage sale. It's buried in the basement. Where's the Furby? Probably out of garbage barge back to China where it came from. But in the moment, they must have. Because if we don't, we worry we'll see this face. Christmas will be ruined. The gift will not be purchased. We know inside that our kids don't want to hear about, hey, we're all together. There's food on the table. It's what's under the tree that counts. Santa knows this. How much money? Scotiabank did a survey this year. How much will the average person, this isn't household, this is per person, spend? They called it the holiday season this year. But nevertheless, we'll use their numbers. The holiday season. From December 15th to January 2nd, they call it. How much will we spend? Atlantic Canadians. Those in New Brunswick and Newfoundland and Prince Edward Island and Nova Scotia will spend $1,038 on average. That's $4,000 for a family of four. Think about that. How much money it is. Quebec's a little more restrained. They'll spend $814 to celebrate the holiday season with one another. Ontario, $848. Manitoba and Saskatchewan will spend $903. Now just take a minute and think to yourself. Are you spending $900 this year? Are you? When you factor in the gifts that you bought, maybe for co-workers, children, do you have them? The turkey, wrapping paper, the tree. Are you spending $900? Is your family of three spending $2,700 on Christmas this year? Yeah. Family of four, are you spending close to $4,000 on Christmas this year? This is an average. People expect to spend more than this as well. In Alberta, life must be better in the oil patch, because they're going to spend close to $1,100 a person on Christmas, on the holiday season, pardon me. Average. We will spend $891 each on the holiday season. Traveling to the in-laws, on the gifts, on the tree, on the expectation. So is Christmas a curse? Fight the parking lots. Fight the stores. Work for the perfect gift. Realize even after you buy that perfect gift that Aunt Edna might get the same person the same gift. That disappointment might be found under the tree. That family discord will erupt. That you might spend 3 days on an air mattress in the basement. And to top it all off, your family of four will spend close to $4,000 for the privilege. Blessing or curse? During Christ's ministry, he's walking with his disciples. The apostles are with him. He feels responsible for these people that are accompanying him. What they number, we don't know. But it's the Sabbath. And the Sabbath law states that one can do no work on the Sabbath. And harvesting is definitely work. So Christ is leading his followers, and he stops because they're hungry. They do not have enough food, so he picks some grain. Maybe they'll make some bread. Who knows? But he cares about his followers. The Pharisees are quick to jump on Jesus. They're standing right there. I can imagine their fingers outstretched. And they start complaining to him that he is breaking the Sabbath laws. You, Jesus of Nazareth, what are you doing? Surely you must know the laws of our ancestors. You must know the laws of Moses. You must know that you can't work on the Sabbath. And what's Christ's response to them? Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, God gave humanity, his created creatures, a great gift. A gift of a day off every week. A day to spend with your family. A day to spend in prayer. A day to spend studying God's Word. A day not to worry about work. A day not to worry about the lawn. A day to not worry about shoveling snow. A day for you. A day to rest. A day to rejuvenate. A day to recuperate. A day to take joy in. How's that day working out for you? How's Sabbath working out for our society? The stores are open. The restaurants are open. The hockey rinks are open. The gas stations are open. Grass is being cut. Snow is being shoveled. All sorts of work is happening. And we complain. We complain that we're tired. We complain there's not enough days in the week. We complain there's not enough hours in every day. We complain we can't get it done. We complain that we're beat. We complain that we're exhausted. And in fact, we go so far, some of us even find ourselves in the hospital, burnt out, out of energy, worn down, exhausted, all used up. And that's not at all what God gave us. But we pervert it. We turn into something different. It's no longer a day of Sabbath. It slowly became a day off work. And that day off work meant we could accomplish things. It meant we could paint the fence. It meant we could till the garden. It meant we could rebuild the transmission. It meant. Then the corporate world woke up and said, hey, people are doing things on Sunday. I remember I worked at Canadian Tire in Regina when I was in high school. And in Regina, the bylaw said that all stores had to be closed on Sunday, except for pharmacies, gas stations, and grocery stores. And the owner of Canadian Tire really wanted to be open on Sunday. In fact, he took Regina City Council to court the year before. But the judge sided with the city and said the bylaw is just. The city can make that kind of bylaw if they want. But the owner of Canadian Tire store realized that Sunday people were doing a lot of work. People needed to buy a shovel to dig out their garden. People needed to buy a new lawnmower. People needed to buy a new bearing for their transmission. People needed to buy a new oil filter. And that was a need that was not being met. People were busy on Sunday. So what did he do? You might remember this newspaper article about 15 years ago. He took a shelf and he put 4 loaves of bread on it. And he said, we are now a grocery store. The city took him to court. And this time he won. And soon, stores started following. TV Mart, I remember, across the street started being open. Car dealerships started being open. It was a snowball effect. And pretty soon, every store was open. But guess who's in those stores? People working. There's some at the cash register. There's someone stocking shelves. There's someone emptying trucks. The list goes on and on. And all of a sudden, we have the world we have now. A world that's much too busy for church. I hear this every week when I go to visit people. I'd love to get their butt. And pick your butt. Sports, family, work, or I'm just exhausted. And this is not at all what God gave us. And now we come to Christmas and I feel the same thing has happened. God has given us something vastly different than what we've created. God has given us a blessing. The hymns are true. Joy to the world. Emmanuel is God with us. It is not God that gave us 24-hour shopping. It is not God that gave us the expectation to spend $1,000 a person on Christmas. It is not God that puts these pressures onto us. It is ourselves. It is our own expectations. And it is also the consumer culture that we live in. We want to have that happy face in the front of the Christmas wish book. We want to see that million-dollar smile when our spouse opens the perfect gift. But all too often, we forget about the look on our spouse's face when the visa bill comes in January. And we complain. Complain about the weather, complain about the parking lots, complain about the crowds, complain about the cost. But we do it, and we do it, and we do it. And eventually our society is going to end up in the hospital, exhausted, worn out, and all used up. Because there's only so much money. There's only so much joy that we can create with a credit card. There's only so many perfect meals we can prepare. There's only so many trips to the in-laws that we can make. There's only so many fake smiles we can produce. And eventually we will run out of steam. And we'll probably end up blaming Christmas. I just can't wait till it's done. I've heard that phrase so many times. Today we hear Mary. And Mary is so excited for Christmas. She is talking with her cousin and she's enjoyed. She's exasperated. She's looking so much forward to this thing God is doing. And compare it to us today. We can't wait till it's done. Mary can't wait till it begins. And that is a very different thing. So where is the joy of Christmas? Here is our gospel for today. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary's excited. She's happy. She is on cloud nine because God is using her as a tool for God's purpose. "Pick me, Lord. Pick me, Lord." This is Mary. "For he has looked on favor on the lowliness of his servant." Mary's saying, "God has used me because of who I am. I am not great, I am not powerful, I am not articulate, I am not rich. I am a young, virgin, unmarried woman. And God has still looked on me with favor. God simply chose me. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm." God's active. God's involved in the world. God is doing things according to Mary. "He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts." Pride. It's pride that brings us to the Christmas curse. Because we tell ourselves we can have the perfect Christmas. You can never have the perfect Christmas. There will always be one person who can't make it. There will always be one person who doesn't like lumpy mashed potatoes. There will always be one gift that you can't find. There will always be one card you forgot to send. There will always be one person who is sick. There will always be one death in the family that's being mourned. You can never have a perfect Christmas. But pride tells us we can have a perfect Christmas. We can get through the realities of life. "For one day we will have a perfect day. No one will argue. No one will be sad. No one will be sick." Forget it. You can't do it. This is true of every family. This is true of every relationship. This is the human condition. But we think somehow we can escape the human condition, that we're better than that. And that's pride. Because we don't need God. We're going to create our own joy. Mary has words for that. scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Look inward. Can you really have a perfect Christmas? You can! A perfect Christmas with your family and with God? Absolutely! A Christmas of joy, a Christmas of laughter, a Christmas of hope, a Christmas with sadness, a Christmas with disappointment. But it's a perfect Christmas because you're not alone in it. You're with God. Sharing stories, uplifting one another, forgiving one another, looking forward to the future with one another. That's a perfect Christmas. But that's not what the world tries to sell to us as a perfect Christmas. It's meant to be wrapped in a bow. It comes with a price tag. God does not. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. We are lifted up. We who deal with sickness, we who deal with depression, despair, disappointment, with angst, with concern, we have been brought up. We have been lifted up. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. We are hungry for good things. The fact that we are spending money faster than we're making it says that we're hungry for good things. We're looking for good things. But can you buy those good things? You can buy nice things. You can buy fun things. You can buy shiny things. You can buy new things. But can you buy good things? Regardless of what Martha Stewart might want to tell you, that it's a good thing. The Tickle Me Elmo. The Furby doll. The PlayStation 1. All these things that people struggle for, that people hoped about, that people prayed to the God of consumerism for, where are they now? Outdated, broken, surpassed, or simply forgotten about. Good things don't go out of style. Good things don't break. Good things don't get passed over for even newer, better good things. Good things are things of the Spirit. Faith, love, and hope, according to St. Paul. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. God is active, Mary keeps reminding us. According to the promise He has made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And what is the promise that God made? That I will be with you. That I will bless you. That I will protect you. That I will take you to that new land of milk and honey. The new Jerusalem that we wait for now as Christians. The new creation which begins in Christ. This is Christmas. The recognition of God coming into our world. This is a radical concept. We can't overshadow this with reindeer, guys in red suits, candy canes, and jingle bells. This is a radical concept. Ours is not a God who simply created the world, wound it up like a watch, threw it in the drawer, and shut it to forget about it. Ours is a God active in the world, and not just active in history 2,000 years ago, active right now. You see, the world loves the infant Jesus. Christians love the infant Jesus. I've been the parent of an infant. You know why the world loves the infant Jesus? Why Christians love the infant Jesus? Because He doesn't do anything. He lays there. The Jesus born in the manger doesn't say anything radical. The Jesus born in the manger doesn't challenge us. He doesn't challenge me. He doesn't challenge you. He just lays there wrapped in bands of swaddling cloth. And so we grab that story. Hooray, the infant Jesus. But that child grows. And that child matures. And that child goes out on his own as a man. And he challenges us. He confronts us. He hits us where we live. And he tells it to us like it is. That we are not perfect. That we cannot create the perfect Christmas. Christmas can be a blessing or a curse. It's up to us what we make of it. If we take Christmas as a God-given gift. It is the greatest blessing. Because that is a gift of grace. That is a gift of forgiveness. That is a gift of comfort. That is a gift of hope. That, according to Mary, is a good thing. But if we take the Christmas that the world wants to give us, that is a curse. They'll wrap it up and make it look exciting. They'll write their own hymns. They'll write songs about shopping, about mistletoe, about bells, about snowflakes. They'll create their own church open 24 hours a day, lined with the best things money can buy. But they will not offer you grace. Try being late in your credit card payment. See how much grace you get. They will not offer you true joy. Eventually, whatever you bought is going to wear out or break. They will not offer you peace. All they will offer you is Christmas. They'll offer you a happy holiday season. They'll offer you season's greetings. But they won't offer you Christ. And outside of Christ, there is no blessing. Amen.